The Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution protects against unreasonable searches and seizures, and these protections prohibit the government from intercepting your mail or tapping your phone without a warrant. Courts say that in these contexts, you have a reasonable expectation of privacy in what you write or say, so any government search must be accompanied by a search warrant that is supported by probable cause to believe that something illegal is going on. But how many personal letters have you mailed today? And how many phone calls have you made? How often have you chosen to email or text someone instead? Considering that many people are replacing personal letters and phone calls with email, can we expect the same protections for emails that apply to postal mail and phone conversations? This question is not as settled as you might think, and federal courts have been struggling with this issue. If you were watching television a few years ago, you likely remember the commercials for a natural male enhancement supplement called Enzyte and the character Smiling Bob. You may even know that Steve Warshak, the CEO of the company behind Enzyte, was found guilty of fraud and sentenced to prison due to illegal actions that his company took in the course of promoting and selling Enzyte. What you might not know is that government investigators contacted Warshak's email provider and asked this ISP to store copies of Warshak's incoming and outgoing emails. Later, the investigators obtained these stored emails from the ISP. All of this was done without a search warrant. Can they do that? A federal appeals court said that the answer is no, because Warshak enjoyed a reasonable expectation of privacy in these emails. But federal appeals courts operate independently of each other, and they do not all have to agree with the first court that decides something. When there is a split between the appeals courts, the U.S. Supreme Court may take up an issue to clarify the law, and what the Supreme Court says then binds the lower courts. However, the Supreme Court has not decided whether emails are protected under the Fourth Amendment. In the recent case of City of Ontario versus Kwan, the justices assumed that there was a reasonable expectation of privacy in text messages and emails. However, this was assumed so they could analyze another aspect of the case, so the existence of a reasonable expectation of privacy in email is not yet the law of the land. This session, the Supreme Court will decide whether attaching a GPS device to a car without a warrant amounts to an unconstitutional search. The Supreme Court's response to that use of technology may give an indication of how the court would rule on privacy in email. Most emailing is done by people using a webmail application. It is possible that Fourth Amendment protections may be limited to emails that are downloaded onto a user's computer in the conventional manner, leaving webmail users in the cold due to the third-party doctrine. Even if you have a reasonable expectation of privacy, you lose that expectation to the extent that you share information with a third party. Webmail customers are often required to consent to targeted advertising that uses the contents of their emails. And privacy policies may be very broad in what they permit the service provider to do with the information in a customer's account. That is yet another reason why the contours of personal privacy in email continue to remain far from clear. I'm Jay Kaysen.